This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving weekend to you. And this is New Beginnings, and this is where we try to help you in every walk of your life. And as we start the program, as always, is our co-host on New Beginnings, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. This is his telephone number, 763-438-1621. Joe, happy holiday weekend and good morning.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family. And who doesn't love leftovers from Thanksgiving, right?
Absolutely. Pass the cranberry sauce indeed.
Turkey sandwich for me, please.
There you go. The holidays, of course, are right upon us with Thanksgiving just still in our rearview mirror, I should say. But is this a time when we should really stop if we're looking for another career opportunity because of the holidays, Joe?
Absolutely not. I've talked on one of the services I think I provided here on New Beginnings for our listeners is that the strongest hiring months traditionally in most years are January and February. And if we decide to pause for the next week, 6 weeks, completely take our eye off our goals and remove that focus, we will be caught flat-footed. We need to make sure that we maintain some type of structure. I get it. It's the holidays, and I will certainly balance out my job search with time spent with family. That is critical. That's important. But to not have any activity from now at this point till the first of the year, I think, is a strategy that is not going to be conducive if you are looking to make a change in the first quarter of 2022. So therefore, maintain some type of structure. Do not suspend, pause your job search. Freddie, there's some natural built-ins here, okay? We are going to have opportunities to see other people during the holidays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be that opportunity to plant some seeds with your network, your career advocates, or family and friends about what you want to do next. I'm not saying overtake a holiday conversation with your job search exclusively. I'm saying that have a brief or informal conversation with those people. Plant some seeds when you see that opportunity and you bring, you know, you're mindful of where you're at, the setting. But also, you're going to have a little bit more downtime. You may have some time where you're not going somewhere. You may not be in the office or working. That's also a time to research and just be current with what's going on in the world. And that those pieces of information might be valuable to you as you frame your job search. So see this as an opportunity to maybe have a little bit more downtime to use it to research and just stay current. And that could be just reading, you know, reading newspapers, industry journals, websites, LinkedIn, what have you. Stay current, stay sharp.
So you should always be planting the seeds. But so are you saying that as we still gather with family and friends, as I'm asking for another dinner roll or something like that, oh, by the way, I'm looking for a new opportunity. Is that okay?
If you see the time is right and there's, you know, you bring a certain amount of mindfulness to this situation, You're also going to see, get-togethers. Maybe they're not so much family and friends, but more on a professional side. That might be an opportunity for a kind of a sidebar, one-on-one conversation with someone you know and trust. And that's also has to be factored in here, too, because those eyes and ears, those people, those bench of career advocates are going to want to know what you're looking to do. And if you don't tell them until after the first of the year, they may not be able to help you. And so, yes, just watch for those opportunities, but I'll obviously bring a high level of mindfulness to any situation in regards to our holiday season.
Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. We're talking about the proactive holiday job search strategy. And the strongest months of hiring, you said, Joe, are right now. So how do we go about planting the seeds? How do we do this tactfully as we go through the holiday season, but yet effectively?
Well, just knowing what you're wanting to do and having those conversations, Freddie, you might even be able to set up and say, hey, when there's a better time, can I schedule a time with you? Can I make a phone call to you in a couple of weeks when it quiets down a little bit? That might be a way to plant seeds. You might just introduce the idea that you're going to make a change. Can I circle back with you? Can I have a cup of coffee with you? Can I have a Zoom meeting with you? That might be an additional way to kind of extend that conversation without allowing that holiday get together to be overrun by your job search. You might just see that as a tactful way to say, hey, would you have 20 minutes for me in a couple weeks if I gave you a call? But planting those seeds is important. If January and February are the strongest hiring months of the year, someone may be in the know on who's hiring who and what industry is hiring. And if we stay silent, we are not going to have that advantage of that information or even having your name brought up in their conversations. That's why standing down in the middle of the holidays from your job search, it's your job search, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not someone else's. You have to make sure that you prioritize what your goals are. And it is what it is. January and February are the strongest hiring months. And companies just don't start on January 2nd. They may be budgeting for that position on December 1st. Or they may be informally talking to someone on December 15th. You would hope that you're part of that conversation. They may not start bringing you in for an interview until maybe early January, but can you see the advantage of having your name brought up before they even open up the interviews? That's why it's so critical.
Everyone, Joe McKenzie. Yes, and I can see that it's being real. In fact, I've told this story before. My first job into the broadcast business happened in Omaha, Nebraska, and it was during the Christmas season that I got the call that I'd been selected, and I started the first week of January. Let me tell you that holiday season was much more joyous at that time.
And because you were in job search mode or you were ready to be interviewed, ready to be hired, you got that job.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So I wonder where things would have been had I not kept moving forward during that October, November time frame, December time frame.
Exactly. I had a family member that got called in for an interview in early January on New Year's Eve day, that afternoon.
Wow.
December 31st at 2 p.m., a call came to a close family member. They wanted to interview this person the first week of January. This person was ready. This person got the job. That happens. Those scenarios play out during the month of December. So what have we learned? Be ready. Do not suspend, stop your job search because you never know what hiring decisions are being made during this time. And we have to be ready. It's our career. We have to prioritize what we want to do, and that's why it's so important to keep that on to stay sharp during the holidays because we have to be ready for when they're ready to bring us in or talk to us or what have you.
Joe McKenzie, it sounds as if you're making a case, a real strong case, for cranking up the job search activities during these the last quarter of the year, October, November, December, to be ready for that January hiring season.
Absolutely. I've said that. That's why a lot of the content that we bring the second part of the fourth quarter of the year is all geared towards getting ready for that strong hiring season. And if that's the decision you want to make, yeah, keep your job search going as you see fit in the context of your family and everything that's going on. It is a busy time of year. I get it. I'm the father of triplets. I have a large family. I run a nonprofit, but I also know that, you know, life gets busy. So find time, make it a priority, and just don't take that focus away from what you're trying to do.
Makes a lot of sense. So we're talking about not suspending your job search activity during this time of the year when people are getting together for festivals and family gatherings. So what would be three ideas that we should remember as we go into the latter part of this year?
Keep some type of structure with your networking, your research. That is first and foremost. Keep structure to some level. Do not suspend it and start it up on January 1st. Approach the holidays as an opportunity to plant seeds with others of what you're trying to do. And it may be where you have a phone call set up for early January, but that's still activity, right? That would be one of the first things. And just that take away that January and February are strong hiring months. Be ready to go at any given moment. You may get a call right before the holidays. You may get a call on December 31st on New Year's Eve. Get called in for the second week of January. Be ready.
All right. Well said, Joe McKenzie. And you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP Job Board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. Thank you for being with us this morning. Now, our title sponsor with AARP Minnesota is their director, is Kathy McClear on New Beginnings. She is the newly minted AARP Minnesota State Director. Good morning, Kathy, and welcome back.
Good morning, and thank you for having me again.
You know, Freddie, I used to be in the media, and we always talked about news you can use, right? So
yes.
It's stuff that's going to really impact your life, make your life better, save you money. These are the things that AARP works on, and everything from fighting fraud to working on pocketbook issues like Medicare, Social Security, bringing down the cost of healthcare, bringing down the cost of prescription drugs. And of course, giving back. You know, our volunteers make a big difference in the community as well. But we couldn't do that without you give us a platform to share that really important information with all of your listeners.
Everybody, we're talking with Kathy McClear. If you haven't figured it out, she is the new AARP Minnesota State Director. Kathy, how long have you been in that chair? I know you've been with AARP for quite some time now.
Right. So I've been with AARP for 16 years, but I'm new to the state director role at AARP Minnesota. I started just towards the end of September. So I've lost track of the weeks, but I think I'm 2 months in here.
Oh, my goodness. It's interesting. We do know that AARP addresses itself to the 50-plus community, but when we talk with Jay Happelet, he's really helping us with making sure that we keep a close watch on our money.
Oh, well, I was just going to share that our founder, Ethel Percy Andrus, she really found a need to meet a need for those 50 and older on healthcare issues, on financial security issues. But she had a motto, and her motto was, "What we do for all." So we know that what's good for the 50 plus in the community is really good for everyone, no matter your age.
Wow. So talk about the role that community radio plays when you work with organizations like yours. Talk about that partnership and what it looks like.
Yeah, so such a big piece of the work that we do is with community partners like yourself. We work with other nonprofits in the community. And again, it's that news you can use piece, but without a platform to share that information, we wouldn't have the ability to reach the people that we reach, have a positive impact on their lives, share the information that we have regarding brain health, regarding caring for your loved ones as they age, sharing opportunities to just get connected and have fun in the community. And we couldn't do that without a platform and a community partner like you. If listeners find value in the information that we are providing through your station, if your listeners are getting information that is important to their lives, that's helping them save money, and they are moved to do so, I would encourage them to do that. We know that this is a great opportunity for us to help keep people connected, and we want to give back to our community. That's why we find you a valuable partner. So if people are so moved, I would encourage them to do that.
So what is your vision? I know that when you come in, it's a really extensive conversation before they say, okay, you'll be leading the state and all of our initiatives with the work that AARP does. What's your vision for the state of Minnesota from your chair now?
Sure. Well, AARP's mission overall is to empower people to choose how they live as they age. And so my vision is to address that by working on issues around health, wealth, and self. And so if you can stay healthy, you're going to age well. If you can have financial security, you are going to age well. And around self, it's also about personal fulfillment and finding purpose in life. Maybe you've worked your whole life at one career and you've decided it's time to do something different. AARP can help you find ways to plug back into the community and give back in a very meaningful way. And so that's really what it's about, is health, wealth, self, and finding ways to age well.
Well, it's really great talking with you, because I feel like we're kindred souls and that you have a wonderful news background.
I do. I spent several years being a producer at WCCO-TV in the Twin Cities, and it's really exciting to be back and kind of fun. I appreciate the opportunity to be back on the radio and do a little media again.
All right. We appreciate you. That's Kathy McClear, the state director, I should say, the newly minted state director for AARP Minnesota. She's working to improve the health and finances of more than 664,000 members in the state of Minnesota. And you're listening to New Beginnings. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Hi, everybody. Before we step aside to go to our next segment on New Beginnings, it's always a pleasure. And we do want to let you know that we do enjoy bringing you the program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. If you'd like more information about any of the programs that you hear from our experts and our list of people who are directly involved in the work that we share with you at New Beginnings, we invite you to call me at 888-639-9738. Now, you didn't know that telephone number was going to come at you so quickly. Here's that number once again, 888-639-9738. Also, you can go to my webpage. It's simply Freddie Bell, F-R-E-D-D-I-E-B-E-L-L, FreddieBell.com, and click on the radio page, and it'll take you to New Beginnings. And there you can find this week's program and programs actually for the last 5 years. You can find that information right there on our website, simply FreddieBell.com. Here's the telephone number again, 888-639-9738. There are many people like me who don't have a problem just picking up the telephone and calling. If you'd like to email me, it's simply Freddie@FreddieBell.com. F-R-E-D-D-I-E. Freddie@FreddieBell.com. We'd love to hear from you. And if there are topics that you'd like for us to discuss that you haven't heard yet on New Beginnings, we'd love to entertain that thought. Still to come, we have more great information for you as we continue our program each week at this time on your favorite radio station. Again, FreddieBell.com, the telephone number 888-639-9738. We always enjoy hearing from you, and thank you for making New Beginnings a point at listening each week. Right here. And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Have you ever felt stuck trying to break a habit or change a way of thinking? Positive habits is our point of focus. When you have great habits, you can break any thought or behavior pattern that holds you back. When you willingly release the patterns that cause you to feel stuck, great things start to happen in your life. You can break free of that limiting behavior, and then you're open to consider what's really true about you. In place of the bad behavior, infuse yourself with power, strength, and vitality. You're actually free to be all that you can be. Right now, all you have to do is choose positive habits and attitudes that support your well-being and the talents that you bring to the world. Good habits are a point of focus. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Joining us right now, the esteemed Dr. Michael Osterholm from the University of Minnesota, epidemiologist, and has served as White House advisor. Welcome back to the show, Doctor. There's still a high level of COVID transmission, according to the CDC.
Good morning, Freddie. It's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
Appreciate it. Well, the important message is that COVID's not done.
I think I know less about what is happening with this virus today than I might have expected to know 6 months ago. The uncertainty I feel about where we're going in this country with this virus really stems from a variety of different things that I see happening. All about the world of observation, trying to understand patterns, trying to understand what has the past 2 years taught us. On the one hand, you can look at the overall national numbers, which, as you mentioned, have been trending back up. But remember, the national metrics are really just a collection of what's happening at the regional, state, and local levels. And when you start focusing in on what's been occurring in these different pockets of the country, it's hard to know what the future holds. There are a lot of moving parts, but I'll do my best to provide some sense of what I am seeing and how I interpret what I'm seeing with regard to our future. So let me start with where the U.S. is as a whole. The 2 months of declining activity we saw after Delta's peak in mid-September, which took us from around 170,000 cases a day to 70,000 cases a day, are now in our rearview mirror. Even the plateau, where daily cases range from 70,000 to 75,000, was fairly short-lived, lasting just over a week. Now we're seeing this really abrupt U-turn, with daily cases up to nearly 86,000 cases a day, which is 18% higher than it was 2 weeks ago. Hospitalizations, which sit at around 47,000, have also started creeping back up over the past few days. As a result, we'll likely see daily deaths start to follow suit. Not the greatest news for a country that has still reported an average of 1,100 deaths a day from this virus. So what's driving this? Well, that's where the patchwork of activity comes into play. As of Tuesday, a total of 33 states reported growing cases over the past 2 weeks. 14 of those states saw cases increased by 40% or more. This is as dynamic a change and increase in cases as we've seen throughout almost all the pandemic. This includes places like Minnesota, right where I'm at, where cases have risen by 84% over the past 2 weeks. Michigan, which has reported a 68% increase. Illinois, which is up 58%. Wisconsin, a 52% increase. Indiana, a 52% increase. And Nebraska, a 29% increase. In each of these Midwestern states, the current case rates sit above the national average of 26 cases per 100,000. In fact, per capita cases in Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin are more than double the national average. Then there's the Four Corners area of the country, where activity has continued to remain high. Colorado has reported a dip over the past few days, but cases in the state are still at the highest level since the surge last winter. Meanwhile, Arizona and Utah, which are also experiencing their most activity since last winter, continue to report gradual case increases. And finally, you have New Mexico, where per capita cases are more than double the national average, which still saw cases grow by 45% over the past 2 weeks. And then in the northeastern region of the country, states like New Hampshire and Vermont have seen cases explode in recent weeks. With per capita cases now more than twice the national average, New Hampshire has reported an increase of 123% in the past 2 weeks, and Vermont is up 73%. And remember, these are two of the most vaccinated states in the country. Other states in the Northeast, including Maine, Rhode Island, Delaware, New York, Massachusetts, and New Jersey, are all also beginning to light up. Finally, although many states in the South are still seeing some of the lowest activity after going through their own devastating Delta wave, there are early signs of possible upticks in places like Arkansas, Missouri, and Tennessee. I also want to note, this pandemic is taking a toll on our kids. More than 122,000 children were diagnosed with COVID the weeks of November 4th to the 11th. The American Academy of Pediatrics noted this is the 14th consecutive week of more than 100,000 pediatric cases. As of this past week, they continue to account for almost 27% of all cases in the country. We know that schools have been severely impacted by the ongoing efforts with COVID. I know that I've thrown a lot at you, and if it's confusing in terms of what's happening in this country, I apologize. But I also want to welcome you to the club. If you want the Cliff's Notes version, this virus is hitting most of the upper Midwest, the Four Corners area, and some states in the Northeast particularly hard right now. It's unclear what the ceiling will look like for activity in these areas, some of which are experiencing major challenges to their healthcare system. In a number of other places, it's smoldering at elevated levels, and I'm not exactly sure what path it will take forward in the coming weeks. I also want to emphasize the fact that what we're seeing here really reflects several different patterns of the spread of the virus in our communities. If you look at the upper Midwest, we are following closely what we've seen in the UK, where after an initial surge with the Delta virus and peak levels of cases, the numbers start to come down somewhat quickly, but they only come down to a very limited amount. They level off, and then they go back up again. And these particular surges are sometimes lasting, as we're seeing now in the UK, months, not weeks. And this is what we're seeing in the upper Midwest right now. On the other hand, you have the model like we see in the southern United States, where we saw these very rapid increases in cases with surges that obviously were devastating to communities, but then the case numbers actually dropping precipitously after several weeks at that high level and going back to baselines that are almost those of what we saw before the surges. This has surely played out in places like India and even in parts of Eastern Europe. So what does this mean? Why do we see this prolonged activity in some areas and other areas the surge is up and down? Well, let me just reemphasize a point I make week after week. No one knows why these surges begin or why they end. Anybody that tells you they do, they probably have a bridge to sell you. We know that what our human activity can do, mitigation in terms of distancing and, of course, vaccination, can have a big impact on how big that surge is, how many cases, how many deaths. That is an important aspect, but we don't understand why these surges occur. I hear people saying, well, it's seasonal. Look at, the upper Midwest and the Northeast are getting hit right now. Well, just remember that the surge that we saw initially with Delta in this country occurred in the southern states, literally during the hottest days of the summer. And we've had an incredibly mild fall, record-setting mild fall, in much of the upper Midwest, where that did not precipitate a cold weather response that some people are ascribing to what might be explaining the current situation. Just simply not the case. And then look at the Four Corners area. Yesterday, the temperature in Denver was 68. The temperature in Albuquerque was 72. The temperature in Phoenix was almost 80. You know, those are not fall-like conditions that one would normally think of with influenza or COVID-19. So we can't attribute it to seasonality as much as many people want to do that. And before I go on and summarize where I think we're at, I'd like to wade into the controversy that has arisen in the state of Florida about the governor taking credit for the low level of cases that have been seen and somehow his intervention efforts was the right thing to do. Well, you know, basically, even a broken clock is right twice a day. And I think that it's really important to understand when is this cause and effect and when not. And so when you have a situation with a big peak where it goes up and comes down, you know, you never want to be on the left side of that curve, because when it goes up, if you're doing something, you're the cause of why it's going up. On the other hand, you always want to be on the right side of that curve, because if it's going down, you surely can take credit for it, even if you had nothing to do with it.
We've got a ways to go yet, which people don't want to hear, but that's the truth.
Thank you for being with us, Dr. Michael Osterholm. Hope to talk again soon.
Always enjoy it. See you later, Freddie. Take care. Bye.
And our program continues right now.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Joe McKenzie, how can we avoid the myopic career search?
We can avoid the myopic job search by looking at your career, looking back, look at your marketable skills and your pattern of achievement, and bring those forward to see what's marketable today. And that will help you avoid the unimaginative, narrow-minded, short-sighted approach to a job search. Bring those attributes, those accomplishments forward, and I'm confident that you're going to find new opportunities out there that you may have never thought of.
For more information, how can we reach Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. We so appreciate you being with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And there's a shot in the arm for United States healthcare. Although the coronavirus vaccine is the one on most everybody's mind these days, other diseases are now in use in the United States, that according to the Centers for Disease Control. This includes vaccines to prevent mumps, measles, the flu, pneumonia, and more. Among the available vaccines for children and adults, 17 in addition to the ones for the COVID-19 are on the CDC's recommended list for protection against particularly dangerous or deadly diseases such as polio, diphtheria, hepatitis, tetanus, and whooping cough. Determining which vaccine would benefit a particular person depends on such things as age. Older people, for example, are urged to get a shingles vaccine, and upcoming travel that might expose you to diseases no longer common in the United States, such as cholera and smallpox. And while we're talking about vaccines, the COVID-19 pandemic prompted a series of rolling shutdowns early last year that sharply curtailed scientific research of other diseases, temporarily halting many clinical trials, restricted access to laboratories, and closed medical research facilities, that according to a new report from the American Heart Association. Yet, at the same time, the authors say that extraordinary success was achieved by redirecting resources to rapidly developing therapies and vaccines to thwart the global healthcare crisis. And when it comes to testing for COVID, uncomfortable nasal swabs may eventually become a thing of the past. That's due to a new technology being developed at Ohio State University. Wexner Medical Center researchers have created a breath test that appears to be highly accurate at rapidly screening patients for COVID-19. The research team has applied to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration for emergency use authorization of the breathalyzer technology. Results from the initial study in patients were published recently in the medical journal PLOS-1. While the gold standard for diagnosing COVID is PCR testing that takes sometimes days to process in a lab, the breath test was able to detect the virus in patients within seconds. That according to Matthew Exine, the lead researcher and director of critical care at the medical center, he said that in a news conference. Also, researchers were able to identify COVID in patients because the virus produces a distinct breath print, they say, due to its interaction with oxygen, nitric oxide, and ammonia in a person's body. Ohio State study followed 46 patients in the intensive care unit with acute respiratory failure that required mechanical ventilation. Half of the patients had an active COVID-19 infection, and the remaining half did not have COVID-19. The test took about 15 seconds to identify the virus and has so far been shown to be accurate 88% of the time, that according to the medical center. The first of its kind device to identify the virus was developed by Kalagia Irene Guma, researcher and professor in the Department of Materials Science and Engineering and the Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at Ohio State. This novel breathalyzer technology uses nanosensors to identify and measure specific biomarkers in the breath. This is the first study to demonstrate the use of nanosensor breathalyzer systems to detect a viral infection from exhaled breath prints. How about that? You're listening to New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today. This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Imagine if you have a hard challenge in your life. If you're feeling alone and lonely. Imagine the God that brought you into being is always with you, no matter where you are or who you are. The God of creation is with you. Is that not a prescription to meet any challenge in life? To remember that point. I got all worked up about that idea last Sunday when Gerald gave me the chance to say those few words about the prayer for protection and said, if we could just get that to the very depth of our bones, to the very center of our heart, throughout our mind, that wherever we are, God is, how much our loneliness would be healed. How much would be revealed as we relate to one another. That was a tradition that Mother Teresa spoke of, that even though she worked among the poorest of the poor, the sickest of the sick, she said, I still look for the Christ in the eyes of each person I meet. She looked for that presence that she believed was everywhere and always. And that meant in the sickest of the sick, in the dying that she ministered to, she looked for Christ. Maybe she said, I behold the Christ in you, as we do by our tradition. But whatever word she used, she looked for that divine presence, and that made a unity between her and all those that she attempted to serve. And that made her a legend in our world to this very day. The power of her love, the unity of her vision to be able to look at anyone and see a divine presence, because she knew God was always and everywhere present. Now, before we leave Jacob, with his dream, he inspired us to remember with that ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Maybe you sang that song in summer camp. I know I certainly did. Did you know that was an early 19th century spiritual developed by African Americans in this country? When they were so oppressed, when they worked in the fields, they were not allowed to talk to one another. If they did, the master ended it. And so they began this tradition that we now call the spiritual, singing a story of truth, something that would inspire them. A few weeks ago, we had that wonderful performance by Jeff Jones of Deep River. My home lies over Jordan. And it was thought as they sang that in the fields, they were thinking of the river Ohio. Because on the other side of that river were states that were free. And people were not enslaved. So they were imagining, like the song, what it would be to go to their true home, to go to the place that their spirit was honored, considered divine and a very emanation of God. Well, I wanted to tell a couple of short stories about Jacob that happened before and after his dream, kind of bookending it. Jacob, like most of us, perhaps, made his little errors, his mistakes. He could be a little tricky. And as a young man, he had his older brother Esau, just minutes older, but still the firstborn. And the firstborn should receive the blessing of the patriarch Isaac, his father. His father was turning over to the firstborn the power of God's promise, that he would carry it forward. But you know what Jacob did? He was imaginative, all right. He dressed up, and with his mother's assistance, went before his father, who was nearly blind in his old age, and imitating his brother's voice. And his brother was quite hairy, so he even put a piece of animal skin across him, and his father reached out, "Oh, Esau." And Jacob said, "Father, give me your blessing." And so he stole the inheritance, the blessing that was due to his older brother, and he took it for himself. When his brother found out, he had to skip down. He had to get out of the way of his brother's wrath. And he went on a journey. Ultimately, he would work for his mother's brother, his uncle Laban. And he saw Laban's young daughter, Rachel. He fell in love. And because you had to buy a wife in those days, and he didn't have money, he told his uncle, "I will work for you 7 years, tending your livestock." And he did, in order to marry Rachel. Well, the custom was the oldest daughter, Leah, had to be married first. So what do you suppose happened? Laban disguised her as Rachel. The wedding took place, and afterwards, Jacob discovered he didn't marry Rachel, he married her older sister. So the deception he had worked on his brother returned to him. And there we go. Another spiritual principle. The way we treat others, we will receive that treatment. We set it up and it will boomerang or return to us. Now, let's jump way ahead. Almost toward the end of the book of Genesis. And there we find a much older Jacob. He was left alone at a stream or the ford of Jabbok and met a strange man there. And suddenly they begin fighting and wrestling, and they fought all night. That stranger was an angel. And Jacob wouldn't let him go. And at the break of day, the angel said, "Release me, release me."
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.